I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Right now, it's time to talk Jets, 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 Jets with Brian Costello from the New York Post. And I'm reading one of your colleagues' columns in the Post this morning, Brian, and my jaw drops because I'm seeing how Greg Williams is saying what a great game his defense played and how they could be dominant. And I don't know what game he was watching. Maybe I was hallucinating during the game. I don't know. But it seemed to me that, it could have been even worse had they not gotten a couple of gift fumbles and a couple of missed field goals.
Yeah. It was a Jedi mind trick by Greg, Richard. You did not see anything last week from the defense. Don't, do not believe your eyes. That was funny to me. I mean, I'm not really surprised. That's who Greg is. Not lacking in confidence, and I think that the message there was don't blame me, blame the players for not making tackles in the game. But yeah, that was not a great performance from anyone on the Jets last week, other than Marcus May. I did not have a great performance, offense, defense, everything. But I can only imagine if Adam Gase tried saying something like that, that your phone lines would be burning up with people wanting to kill him. So.
Yeah,
Greg doesn't get quite the same response.
Well, this whole Le'Veon Bell situation, you find it ironic. During practice, he complains, hey, my hamstring's fine. Why don't they let me practice with it? And then first game, hamstring down, and who knows how long he'll be out. So I guess Gase was wise to take him out of that practice. And maybe.
Yeah, he was wise to take him out of practice. He should have taken him out quicker in the game. You know, I think, that one play at the end of the half when they were driving, their two-minute drive, do you remember that play where he did a out and up and the linebacker grabbed his shoulder and pulled him down? That's when he tweaked the hamstring. The Jets left him in the game, because he was wanting to stay in the game. And maybe this was in the back of Gase's head from what happened 3 weeks ago. Left him in, and he was who knows if he did a little bit more damage there by staying in. But yeah, anyone who follows sports in 2020 knows how hamstring injuries go, right? The Yankees are dealing with them. Everybody's dealing with them. It could be about a month before we see Le'Veon Bell again. It'll definitely be 3 weeks because they put him on injured reserve.
Yeah, and it may not make all that much difference. I mean, I know that the trend in football over the years has been running backs devalued, and it's not as important, even though we saw Tennessee in the playoffs win a game with a running back. But basically, if the offensive line doesn't give you at least creases, I don't care, you're Superman, you're not going to have much of a game, as we saw with the Giants last week and the Jets this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, Le'Veon's still one of the better players. He has not had the production that anyone thought he would during his time here. I don't know how much Frank Gore had left in the tank. He looked good in training camp. I'm not sure if he's a guy you can ride 25 carries a game or anything like that. They also have Michael Pirine, who I think is going to play tomorrow, a fourth-round pick. I don't think you can count on him yet either. He's a fourth-round pick as a rookie. He's only had 3 weeks to practice yet. So, you'd like to have as many running backs back there as possible. If you look at the 49ers, the Jets' opponent, I mean, that's a strength of theirs. They have Mostert, they have Tevin Coleman, and then Jerick McKinnon. They have three good running backs there that they rotate through and all can do damage. I mean, I think that's what you want in the NFL these days. You don't necessarily need the bell cow like you talked about, but you need... You need a solid rotation of guys, and the Jets losing Bell takes one guy out of the equation for them.
Well, I watched Thursday night's game some, and I wanted to see Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And I have to say, now maybe it's surrounding cast, maybe it's who they were playing, but he impressed me more than Sam Darnold impressed me in the first game. So, you know, doubts about Darnold. Obviously, he doesn't have receivers. He didn't have much of a running game, offensive line, new guys. But, you know, Burrow looked better.
Yeah, in one snapshot.
One game, yeah.
I mean, Darnold's had games. We've seen games from Darnold in the past 2 years where he looked like Burrow did on Thursday night, you know, where he showed some poise and made some plays. So you can't just, say that he's never done that. I think for me, watching last week, the most troubling thing with Darnold was three decisions/mental mistakes. The first one was when he took a delay of game out of a TV timeout. And that was he messed up the play call in the huddle. There was miscommunication there and they get a penalty there. And then the second one is he's rolling to his left. He throws to his right into the middle of the field, which is basically, you know, breaking every rule there is in playing quarterback, and it's intercepted by the linebacker. And then the third one is he's rolling out to his right at the end of the third quarter. And instead of throwing it away, he takes a 5-yard sack by running out of bounds. I mean, these are decisions, Richard, that if Joe Burrow made them, you'd say, okay, he's playing the second game in the NFL. I understand what's going on here. This was Darnold's 27th start in the NFL. He can't be making these mental mistakes anymore. So that, to me, was the most troubling thing you saw from Darnold last week.
Yeah, and that last one was particularly bothersome to me because it's like, okay, throw the ball away, and instead you take the loss and you put yourself in a hole, and it's like, anybody would just, don't get intentional grounding, just throw it down the sideline and move on to the next play. And that's football 101, basically.
I think every Jets fan was probably screaming, throw the ball away. If he was at the sideline, his coaches are screaming, throw the ball away. And I don't really understand what happened there. The Crowder was in scramble drill. He was kind of in no man's land. I thought he might throw it to him, but you know, I think maybe he froze there and just ran out of bounds. But again, you know, he's played a lot of football now. It's his third year. These aren't mistakes that he still should be making. He can have a bad game throwing the ball, which he did that last Sunday too. That all happens from time to time, but. The mental errors to me were the most troubling thing.
And making judgments on him. Now, this was one game, and they certainly can turn it around and play a lot better, and he can play a lot better. But
and a good defense, Richard. That the Buffalo defense is very good. So you got to put that in the equation, too.
Yeah. So, you know, you let it slide, but it's going to be a very, very tough call. If things don't change with him and with the head coach now. I mean, Gay certainly didn't sugarcoat the game, didn't say, yeah, we did great things. I mean, after the game, he was pretty honest about how bad they looked.
Yeah, they looked bad. And, you know, obviously there's a, you know, small margin of error for this team. They don't have the talent where they can go out and play poorly and still find a way to win, like some teams in the NFL can. So it's a lot of pressure on Donald, a lot of pressure on Gase. I think it's tough. You just look at his roster. And, there's a lot of holes, Richard. There's a lot of holes. You know, I'm not sure what they're going to do. Receiver, cornerback, edge rusher, they're obviously Joe Douglas is building for the future. But I think, I wrote this week, that long-term gain is going to provide some short-term pain, I think, for this team. So, I think that's toughest on Adam Gase because he really – you know, I heard people screaming about play calls. They ran 53 plays in the game. That's nothing. You know, the Bills had over 80. So evaluating his play calling, I guess you can complain about a few play calls, but that wasn't the reason they lost that game, Richard. They didn't execute. They didn't play well at all. And you can put that on him. I'm fine with that argument. The play calling thing is a little tiresome to me. I think, you know, players need to make some plays for the guy.
Yeah, and the thing is, they didn't even see. I mean, the first half, they weren't even competitive. True. I mean, it was three and out, punt. You know, there was no even sign of life on that offense. Even with the lack of talent, you expected a little bit more than that.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're looking for tomorrow, Richard. I don't think Jets fans are delusional thinking the Jets are going to go out and beat the 49ers tomorrow. They got another good defense, another good team they're playing, obviously, and defending NFC champions. But you want to see them fight. You want to see some competitive, like what you saw from the Giants on Monday night. You know, they end up losing the game, but it was competitive for three quarters. I think that's what Jets fans, want to see tomorrow. Can they come out and do something more? I mean, yeah, going 3-and-out in the first three series was just brutal. And if you look at them, I mean, I've watched the film now three times. It was just like, it's just little things. Guys not quite completing their routes, missing some throws, guys running the wrong routes. Some of this I think we should have seen coming. The Jets have 7 new starters on offense, so there's going to be some problems. They had no preseason games to work out the kinks. So I do think this first month is probably going to be filled with a lot of communication problems, a lot of guys running the wrong routes. Rashad Perriman is going to, the Tampa offense is going to pop into his mind instead of this offense. They don't have Denzel Mims, who I think, they were counting on him to be a big weapon for them. There's going to be some issues here early on, and it's up to Gase to figure out how to fix them.
Couple of league things, holding calls way down, and I'm watching games, and I'm going, Jesus, you're not getting these holding calls, and I'm wondering, did the refs get some kind of instruction that, hey, we didn't have preseason games, so kind of go light on the holding, because I can't believe the guys just stopped doing it. So what do you think's going on there?
Yeah, it's possible. There's two things. It's possible that it was a message from the NFL to go easy on that stuff. They want the flow of the game to be good. I think they're worried about no preseason, like you said, and light training camp. I also think it's the referees had no preseason, so maybe they're figuring things out on their own too. And maybe that led to, instead of going overboard, they held back on making some of the calls, a little unsure of themselves early in the season. But it's something that bears watching. There's always something in the beginning of the year, Richard, we see that they call a lot of and they don't call. And then there seems to be a correction a few weeks in. Remember a few years ago, they were calling everyone for landing on the quarterback. Not really even roughing. It was they were landing their full body weight on the quarterback and getting called for it. And then we saw a correction on that. So we'll see if the holding calls go up here now in a few weeks.
Yeah, and I didn't do any kind of real statistical analysis, just by observation. I saw a lot of pass interferences that coulda, shoulda been called that weren't. I'm wondering about that too, because I saw there was one play where a guy's holding on to the jersey in the Cincinnati Cleveland game, and I guess it was
Odell.
Beckham.
Yeah, it was Odell.
And no call.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the ref. I think on that one, the official was kind of in a bad position. It seemed like he was in front of Odell on that, and didn't see the jersey pull behind. But I noticed watching, I didn't get to see everything Sunday because I was covering the Jets, but watching some of these games, there should be more holding calls than pass interference calls on defense. It looked like there were some calls where they could have been pass interference and they called holding instead, which is not as bad of a penalty. You don't get as many yards. So I'm not sure if they put an emphasis on that this year, but, it's one of the games. You kind of got to let it play out to see what the trends are.
And in terms of COVID, obviously we're not going to see for a little while if guys come down positive and what the symptoms are and all of that. But, for a first week in the NFL, it did go very, very smoothly.
It did. They've done a good job. Through training camp, it really wasn't that big of an issue. And now through a week of the season, we'll see, they're all getting tested today, probably as we speak. And we'll see if there's any positives. But they're testing every day still, Richard. So I think that's the key to this, is they're making sure COVID doesn't get into the building. And, and if it doesn't get in, then it can't be spread. So I give them a lot of credit, the NFL, the Players Association, for figuring the way. And I give players credit for being disciplined, it seems like, and not putting themselves in risky situations.
Yeah, well, baseball started out allowing, one or two guys, and then they eventually just said, hey, one guy gets tested positive, We shut it down for a while. I think football will be a little bit looser than that, maybe due to the numbers.
Well,
and
the weekly schedule is the biggest factor. Yeah. You know, baseball is every day. Like, so you take a risk. If a guy tests positive on a Tuesday and you send the team out that night to play baseball, you know, you don't know how it's spreading. With football, if you test positive on a Tuesday, you know, you can pretty much quarantine who you need to quarantine. And also, they're all wearing chips, Richard, like that track them when they're in the building. So they know who you're coming in close contact with. So if someone tests positive, they can look at their data and say, okay, these five people were in a room with you for 15 minutes today. We're going to pull them aside, quarantine them too. Like they really have some effective stuff going on here in terms of what they figured out in terms of contact tracing and testing. So, you know, I would be surprised if there was a large outbreak on a team this year.
Well, that'd be good news there. And, you know, it's so weird with some fans being in the stands, and I'm not really sure watching these games how much of the sound is augmented and how much of it was real there. But, you know, it's coming off pretty well. They're doing a pretty good job on that.
Yeah. And, it's, you know, I was in Buffalo, so it was very weird to be in the empty stadium. Particularly, you know, right before kickoff when the team stayed in the locker room for the anthem, it was eerie. It was so quiet. And then we're in the press box, we couldn't even hear the anthem, cause, you know, you're sealed off with this really thick glass. So it was just an empty stadium and it was like 10 minutes to kickoff, which is just so weird because that's usually when things are buzzing, you know. So, I think the Colts game next week for the Jets, there's going to be fans at that game, I read. So, you know, that'll be a little bit different. It'll be their first game with some fans in the stands.
Okay, we shall see. All right, Brian, thank you. Hopefully there'll be more positive things to talk about next week. I don't know that there could be many more negatives after that game. It was pretty bad.
As long as there's stuff to talk about, Richard. We don't care either way. As long as there's something to talk about.
As long as we have grist for the mill, as they say.
That's right.
Brian Costello from the New York Post.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.